because I'm starting to realize furniture does not like me.
Well, yeah. Well,
see what had happened was.
Yeah, you. My mama's ottoman
only likes feet. I'm starting to see.
Yeah.
Or small kids.
Yeah.
Small humans.
Yeah.
Not us full voluptuous curvatures of human abilities. Ish.
No. Yeah, so now we're looking for replacements.
Might have found a suitable replacement, actually.
Yeah, we had to probably maybe order it late.
Yeah, see. Friday, I probably will put the request in. Since that's payday.
Yeah, okay.
Just got paid Friday night. And that's actually the truest story ever in my life.
Yeah, okay.
But.
Yeah, well, folks, welcome to Who's Impressed. This is me, your hostess with the mostiest, Alita.
Beetlejuice.
Yes, Beetlejuice, yes.
I'm sorry.
I know you say it every time I say that.
I can't help it.
Okay, sorry. Okay, all right. And we have with us today, a.k.a. the Crusher, Bianca.
Oh, God, I feel like old Dax off against the Destroyer.
Yeah.
Sad face, sad BB face.
Oh, yeah. So what happened was Bianca sat on the ottoman, and the ottoman went crush.
Hey, all fairness, it was only on one side. it's not decimated. I say we take a picture and put it up to see, just so people can see that it's not completely destroyed.
Okay, I will. I'll post it on Twitter and Instagram. Like, this is the evidence of the destroyed.
It just doesn't, from here, it doesn't look like it's been harmed.
It's been harmed.
It just doesn't look like it from here.
From your angle, from my angle, I'm seeing something sticking out off on the side.
That's his finger.
Okay. whatever you say.
Sleep.
I just wish we could, like, fix it so we won't have to buy anything right now.
That's okay. I'll pay for another one. We will withstand more.
Okay, so what's our topic today, Bianca?
A younger year classic, Inuyasha. I feel like for a second she was about to summon the Dragon Zord. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My brain was hearing. I was expecting. Okay. Sorry. My brain is done.
All right. So, Inuyasha, what are your favorite memories of Inuyasha? So many, right?
It's a lot of them, I have to admit. On Inuyasha, I can truly say I watched, God, 6 seasons at least. And I truly have to say some of my favorites had to be watching Sango wield Hiraikos, her weapon, that gigantic boomerang.
Mm-hmm.
You had to admit, for her to hoist that thing and throw it just shows how physical she was. But you have to admit, when you look at her, she did not look like some muscle bound hulking.
Nope, she wasn't. She was lean.
A little slender and lean thing that you wouldn't look like she could pick up a kitten, really. But she'd real Hiraikos was.
She was a badass.
Yeah, you had to love her. And I love the fact that she would brutalize Heroku on multiple occasions.
Yeah, because he would touch her ass.
Or someone else's ass.
And he'll get like.
Would you bear my child?
Bear my children.
And she just beat the hell out of him because of no social modicum. But
all right, so, you know, my favorite thing about I loved about Inuyasha was, of course, you know, the storyline. Then after a while, it kind of started going into soap opera mode. Where, you know, with the Kikyo and Kagome.
Love triangle going bad.
Inuyasha, love triangle. And I'm like, okay.
God, yes, and him being torn in which way I want to be a full demon, but at the same time I want to be with the one I love, but I want to be a full demon, but the one I love doesn't want me to be a demon, so should I be human? And
yeah, it's like, blah. It's like, oh, okay, here
and
we
then,
go.
And then her mirror image. Oh, wait, her mirror image loves me for what I am, but I don't know which I want. They're the same person, dude. Just stop. Stop. It's not this hard, dude. It's not hard. One's alive, one's dead. You tell me which one you want.
And you don't want any cockroaches
on your... Dust bunnies.
Yeah.
Freaking shikigami. Yeah, because
she was like nothing but a clay pot. Anywho. So.
Great for planting flowers. Yes. Man. That's
yes,
it.
She was a dead, she was a dead clay woman. All right, so so what's Inuyasha about?
Well, its true story is called A Feudal Fairy Tale, mm-hmm. which is in essence is about a young girl who was a family part of a family who owns a shrine. Who in modern day Japan, she falls into a well called the Bone Eater's Well. It transports her back into feudal Japan, I want to say 1600s, 1700s-ish.
Yeah, somewhere around there, yeah.
Many, way many years before she was even contemplated of being born. Where in essence, stupid muffin that she is, apparently somehow A, takes the Jewel of Four Souls out of her somehow, splinters it into...
Yes, like this, remember that, that was a spider woman? Was with the woman with the hair. I forget. But it was some...
Yura of the hair?
It was some demon that actually, like snatched her from modern times into the feudal era.
You're thinking about Yura of the hair, probably.
I'm thinking of... Yeah, I think I...
Because she had the long strands of black hair that almost went all over. I don't remember. I think she fell into the well.
No, she actually... it was a demon that snatched her in there.
Oh, well.
She was... Yeah, so...
I was giving her credit for just being clumsy.
No, she was snatched in.
Oh, so they reached up and said, did the scorpion, get over here!
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay,
so
well,
she was snatched in. So... Well,
long story short, goes into a well, gets knocked back almost 400 years in the past, walks up to a village, finds a guy pinned to a tree by an arrow... Takes said arrow out of said guy. Said guy is a dog-eared butthole.
I know a lot of buttholes. but that's for another podcast.
I don't know how many ways I can take that, but I'm going to go ahead and just keep it on the low line.
That's for another podcast.
But she kind of goes and runs into a ragtag bunch of people. You got the drama... You have drama, of course, love triangles, as Lita first mentioned. You have lots and lots of feuding over women. But then you kind of, once you get over the comedy at first, you start seeing a lot of people's storylines are actually more intertwined than you first thought or that you first watch. Like, you really see how integrated, like, the main antagonist was in everyone's life and how he has so much to do with so many things that had happened in these people's lives, like spoiler alert, Naraku.
We're going well, to you know later. What? This show is so old, so like spoilers are like irrelevant. So
I will say spoilers to what we were talking about later.
Well, though. If those who haven't seen Inuyasha, I would suggest to kind of like don't listen to this episode at all.
Skip it, watch about 5 episodes, and come back to us.
Yeah, come back to us. Yeah, and even then, maybe just finish the whole freaking series. Maybe.
Or at least watch three of the seasons, because 3 seasons in, you'll run into pretty much all the ragtag bunch by then,
mm-hmm.
including half the antagonists included.
Yes,
and a lot of your supporting characters, you will be well endowed with them that you're like, oh,
mm-hmm.
not a big deal. But he really, this storyline is majorly
complex.
It's very complex. I have to say, for it to be such an older show.
Mm-hmm.
It really is a well thought out show. It's one that the only thing that gives away its age really is its artwork.
Yeah, the animation style.
Yes, artwork and animation style really is the only thing that mm-hmm. gives up how old the show truly is.
Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's timeless.
Pretty much. Yep. Yeah. Like any good fairy tale.
Yep. There you go.
Any good fairy tale is timeless.
Timeless.
30 years later, we're going to have a new reboot of this. You know that, right?
Yeah.
And probably then, in like 7 years, maybe.
7 years. Yeah, probably so. I wouldn't be surprised.
Because when we get into this, how old is the show?
Well, actually, the manga itself, 1996, so...
Oh, yeah, never mind. It's going to hit a reboot.
Yes.
Yeah, just like Sailor Moon did. Never mind.
Yeah, it's
going to be... in, it's not going to be in the Yasha.
Like, whoever's born in 96, you're grown right now, so...
I got cousins younger than this show, okay?
So, there you go.
Born in 98.
See? Right. All right, so should we start off talking about the author? The mangaka?
I think we can brush across the mangaka a little bit.
All right, you want to start off?
Sure.
Okay.
So, Rumiko Takahashi was born October 10th, 1957 in Niigata, Japan. While growing up, she didn't show much interest in manga, but she was said to occasionally doodle in the margins of her notes in school, like many average people do, right?
Yeah, pretty much. it's kind of interesting when I was actually doing some research on her. She said that she was interested in manga as a child, but then you hear her saying, no, she wasn't. But I think it's basically that she was kind of nervous about making it a career because of basically the hard time. The hard times, like a lot of manga artists, it's just artists in general, face, like financially. Right. So, I think that's basically it on that front. She said that her interest in manga came much later. You know, I'm not exactly sure, but I'm guessing high school.
Okay. So. I mean, that would make sense, though, because that's right around where you probably said, because a lot of classes, a lot of things, you're getting bored much more easily.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about all the other stuff, you probably just started doodling.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about it, she's been doing this since she was young. It's very possible by that point, it had just kind of, she had to like enter contests or possibly just her friends seen her work.
Right, right.
So she probably.
Yeah, we don't know. You know how
speculation.
Private, you know how private manga people, I can't get it out. How private mangaka are.
True.
They are so private. You can't find much background on them whatsoever, translated or otherwise. During her time in college, which was Japan's women's university, she enrolled in... here I go getting lost. Wait.
Gekiga Sonjoku?
Yeah, there you go. Manga school founded by Kazu Koike. That's pronounced that right?
Koike? Kazu Koike?
Yeah. Ooh. You know what? It's so funny. It's like with me in Japanese, I read it, but I rarely say it out loud. So when I end up...
When you say it out loud, that's when your brain goes, wait, what?
I'm like, I know what this is, but I'm like, yeah.
Struggle point.
Yeah, struggle. Big toy. But you guys might know Koike-san as the mangaka of Crying Freeman and Lone Wolf and Cub, which is like, it's almost like that's kind of like every old school otaku's starting point with anime and manga is Lone Wolf and Cub. So
yeah, I was just about to say that came up as a Jeopardy question one day.
Oh really?
And that was probably one of the ones I missed.
Really?
Because they had some that I was literally, when they introduced that category, I looked at my mother and said, I prepared for this my whole life.
You're prepared.
When you have a category based on Japanese animation,
mm-hmm,
and manga, really, you really just don't understand. But I really have to say it. That was one of the ones I had never seen.
You know what? I've actually read like a few. I'm sorry, folks. I mean, popcorn is rude. I actually like read.
It's called hunger. Yeah. It happens.
I actually like read a few, like back in high school, like a few volumes of Lone Wolf and Cub in the library. But I haven't, like, but it was, like, out of order, so I kind of, like, started and kind of gave up, but that's actually, like, on my bucket list.
And that one was, to me, reminds me of going back to, like, Saint Tail.
Mm-hmm.
And Love Hina and Peach Love and them, because you only had, like, a couple of them in the library, so you kind of had to say the best you could with
it. Right, and then you had to, because especially, like, back then for me, you know, my internet connection, or sometimes I didn't even have internet.
Excuse me, dial-up.
Right, dial-up.
So, back when MSN TV was real and AOL sent you a disc every freaking week.
Right.
You got like 8.0, 8.01, 8.011. Like, dude, I need you to stop water cleaning out the bedroom. I found like 3 of those.
Oh, really?
Yes, I found 3 of the discs. I laugh because I'm like, dude, my computer would mutilate you so terribly. Probably couldn't even read it. My computer would be like, this is too old. This is meant for Windows 95. You need to stop.
Right. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Delete, 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 delete. But.
So while attending the school, Kaiko-san was said to have personally cultivated Takahashi's work. Not really like work. How can I put it? Like, he was like
he influenced her.
Yeah, he was very influential on her work. And he's also said to have to like push his students to go beyond the trope. And she's really into character development, and actually she's also been known to actually start most of the current tropes that you guys like seen in anime today.
And I will say, you can really tell that her character development is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Especially is really noticeable in Inuyasha, really much so.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I say their backstories, this is kind of what I was talking about. She developed them to the point that if you yourself was trapped in this anime world, this lovely anime and the lovely artwork from the manga,
mm-hmm.
you could see the inner workings of the characters. You could see how things play out in their mind. You almost could determine what would be their next action. And it's amazing to see when you put that much detail into creating a character.
Mm-hmm.
Because you normally don't see that even in writing nowadays.
No.
It's like the character you gloss over, you kind of think of there are some of their main tributes, like, are they brooding or are they full of angst? Or
I blame Twilight.
Ooh. Well, see what happened once on that one. You don't want to just put that piece of popcorn in my mouth. Just look to the left like, no comment on that one. But, I mean, you really can tell. And the fact that it's kind of interesting to see that she worked as an assistant to a horror mangaka, because right. most of her work aren't based on horror. They don't have a very...
Yeah, it's mostly like it's light and tone, is caricature based. But Inuyasha, I think, has been like her darkest work. Kind of not dark, but it's like heaviest.
I don't know. Because I kind of feel, because she was also the one who created Rama Half, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I kind of, it'll say, the one with the alien chick with the green hair. Urusei Yatsura or something. I can't remember.
We have it written down. That's funny. It's like I said, once
we get started, there's no...
Well, that's actually kind of like further down the line.
Don't worry. But I'm just saying, I'm just thinking, thinking of the one she's done.
Mm-hmm.
And you sometimes can see and connect them. Like, for when I was younger, when I used to really, really watch anime, like Eat, Sleep, Breathe... anime.
Right.
I remember some of them I could just watch and I could probably tell you who the mangaka was.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on how the artwork or certain features were, like how bold something was drawn. I'm like, that looks like so-and-so's work.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on look like, oh, that's because it was.
There you go.
Good to know. But.
Yeah, you're thinking about Loom and, Urusei.
Yes, that's you.
Yeah,
Yatsura.
Yatsura, okay. That's right here.
Yes, yes, that is exactly, because I'm thinking of the hairstyling.
Mm-hmm.
To me, Loom looks very much like a green-haired version of Kagome. And that's why exactly. I'm like, you can look at her. When I never knew who the author was at first, but just seeing a picture of it pop up here and there, I'm like, why does she look like Kagome?
It's because it's the same lady.
Coincidence? I think not. But it's just, I guess, just seeing the fact that, yeah, working with a horror mangaka, Kazuo Umez, mm-hmm. creator of the Orochi series, and then it's like, I didn't really see too much of that mangaka's influence with hers, but guess not so much as the Koike song where they really got into good deep influences, I guess.
You know what? That's another bucket list for me. I'm not really a horror fan of anything, even though I'm born on Halloween, people.
Which is statistic enough.
And the thing is, I'm good at writing horror. That's the funny part, but I'm like a scaredy cat. I can't really handle.
I'm just proud that she didn't say that when I write, I scare myself.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, God.
I have stories about that. I just totally.
The horror.
Yeah, the person who writes horror is afraid of horror and gets scared of what she writes because she starts freaking out. Because she gets so freaking immersed in what she's doing. But anywho.
Dear God. So yep. She's writing her fears on paper.
Yeah, pretty much.
In other words, she's giving a cheat sheet on how to scare the living hell out of herself.
Yeah, pretty much. All right. So, like Miyaka said, while in school, Takahashi worked as assistant to Horimakaka. Kaizo Umiyas. Yeah, the creator. They're the creator of the Orochi series. In 1976, Takahashi began publishing short manga as a part of the Japan Women's University Manga Club. Such stories included Thus a Half of Them Are Gone and Bye Bye Road. You know, I really wish I could find some of these because I think it would be rather interesting to see like
her early work
versus now.
Now. Mm-hmm. See how she evolved.
Mm-hmm. Her professional career officially began in 1978 with the publication of the one-shot,
Kata and Yatsura.
There you go.
Hmm.
Okay, which I think is actually like the precursor to.
That's what I was just thinking. Yeah. I'm like, really?
It's the precursor to Yurusai.
Yatsura,
yeah. Yes. Okay. So, that same year, she began her first fictionalized work, the science fiction comedy. There you go. Here you go, because you know you can say it better than I can. Yurusai Yatsura.
Yeah.
Which appeared in Weekly Shonen Sunday from 1978 to 1987.
So it ran until a year before I was born. Go figure.
Yeah, and the ending was a year. Never mind. I'm getting ready to give out my age. Excuse me. I should not give out my age. Even though you all can probably look at public records and find out. I'm not telling.
Me, on the other hand, I'm like, I'm dirt.
I'm not saying I'm
a dirt covered potato.
I'm not saying anything.
I'm a dirt covered potato.
So, during like this period, Takahashi-san, she had issue keeping up with her publications.
I wouldn't doubt it
because because it's like I think like keeping up like with deadlines, I should say.
I wouldn't doubt it
because she they were saying that like a lot of her work would come out like sporadically during this time period, so I could see that. So basically, I think her and the mangaka of Hunter x Hunter kind of have like the same issue.
I was just thinking that. Like, oh, so y'all must have came from the same school of thought.
Uh-oh. What she getting ready to do? Just joking. Anywho.
Never mind the cowbell in the background. That's actually a water jug. I'm sorry. I drank all my water because I'm trying not to, like, die from heat.
Yeah, because it's about 94 degrees outside. And speaking of why is, you know, you guys probably hear my dog in the background as well as, like, a hum. Basically, we had an air on, so we're trying not to melt up in here. So there you are.
And I'm done with the cowbell, so I refilled my glass of water, so yay. And it changed to red.
That's right. Bianca has a changeable cup, a water changing cup. Okay, so her other famous works included
Mason Ikkoku.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Mermaid Saga.
Rhyme and a Half.
1 Pound Gospel.
And
Rhyme.
Oh, I'm glad you pronounced it that way because that is not what I was going to say. All right, good to know. But.
And here's some cool facts about Takahashi-san. She's also known to be the first female mangaka who gained major success in the shonen manga genre, which nicknamed her the Princess of Manga.
Kind of cool.
Yes. She's also one of the most famous manga producers in Japan, and possibly the richest woman in the country.
Ooh.
Yes.
But I don't doubt it, because you know what? Just thinking about some of the big ones that she had, Ranma and a Half as well as Inuyasha were two of the biggest works, along with, you know, you heard of Yurusai Yatsura, but you really heard of Inuyasha more so.
Mm-hmm.
And Ranma One Half and all the nutty characters. So, I mean, I could really believe that she possibly is one of the most wealthy women in the world, in that country.
Yep. All right, we'll be back after these first impressions. I swing my hair back and forth. Okay, so Bianca was over here swinging her hair around. So. Okay.
Me and my bush.
Okay, so welcome to our first impressions section of the show. We have something good for you to know about and stuff. I'm not good at rhyming, so I'm just gonna talk.
This is why I'm not a rapper.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, so what do we have today? So I got in the mail this really, 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 really awesome book. It's called The Last Guardian, An Extraordinary Story. I don't even call it an extraordinary journey.
You know, that's because we heard that first impression from before. Whimsical journey.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was like,
where did the word journey come from?
Yeah, that's probably where it came from.
See, look, we can tie it together.
Yes. So, for those who don't know, The Last Guardian is a video game. It's created by Team Ico, wonderful folks who were behind the most beautiful, timeless, fantastic video games, Ico and Shadow of the Colossus. Shadow of the Colossus is my favorite video game of all time. We'll be doing an episode on that one day, but not anytime soon, not this season, but I'm trying to save that because that's going to be something, that's going to be a special time in my life. When I do the Shadow of the Colossus episode, I'm going to start crying.
Oh my God.
I'll probably start crying because it just touches me so much. And I remember you over my house trying to play it. and I think you couldn't find where one of the colossi was.
Okay, look, you don't realize I have not gotten better with moving cameras yet. Have you realized? If I told you how my boyfriend and my cousin tried to teach me how to play Call of Duty one day and the moving camera, they literally watched me go from probably 5.5 feet away from the TV with my glasses on, fully clothed from my work clothes, all the way to about a foot from the front end of the TV because I took my glasses off because they were in my way. My boyfriend and my cousin were still trying to figure out how I took out a whole screen of people with one grenade from across the screen.
Oh, dear.
He was like, they said, if she ever masters the camera, this is going to be scary. I said, what is this? They were like, oh, God.
Okay, so
I can only imagine.
The book is basically, I'm looking right now. Actually, this is a stunning table book, actually. There's a nice picture of Trico, which is the creature that we are interacting with in the video game. We have like a nice intro to the book. Let's see.
Okay. Yes. That is not what I thought it was.
Bianca thought it was a cat.
Okay, first glance, looks like a fuzzy cat. I was like, oh, it's a kitty. Then I'm looking at this, I'm like, okay, that's nothing whatsoever of a cat. It looks like a freaking mouse.
Actually, it reminds me of my dog, actually. A little bit, but my dog is way cuter. But she's... Well, anywho, never mind. So, yeah, we have like a...
I wonder if they have the same personality.
No, not even close. The big thing is nicer.
I kind of figured that, but I was going to let you say it.
But, okay, so it's real cool. We got like... introduction, we have like pictures of the behind the scenes teams. This is real cool. Actually, it looks like, is this like a walkthrough? I think there's like some walkthroughs in here.
I'm over here cheating because I'm looking up The Last Guardian over here on the low.
It's a good game. I had to kind of put it down because I was getting emotional. Listen, you have to understand, when you play in certain video games, especially like an adventure game, you become like involved. You get a little attached to everything.
That was probably the closest emotion I can have to that is the game Elgar that was on my phone.
See?
And they literally got rid of it. I was so pissed.
See?
I think I cussed a couple of people out that day.
See what I mean? So.
But it wasn't during the game. It wasn't until way after. So you're talking about the book. I'm just kind of going by some of the information I'm seeing online. So IGN is saying they got a 7 out of 10. Best Buy is a 4.4 out of 5. GameSpot is 8.2 out of 10. So pretty much high up on the ratings of the game.
Yeah, and some people think that the game itself was dated. You know, I personally didn't think so because whatever. But
I didn't think so because of whatever.
Yeah, just basically, I don't care. I don't care what y'all say. So, but I can see probably why they think that, because it was a lot of development issues with this game. It took a while to come out. But overall, there's some cool storyboards in here. And stuff like that. I probably shouldn't get too far because I don't want to
ruin the game.
Which
I doubt you could do that anyway, because you're still going to play it.
Yeah, I probably will, yeah. most likely I will be playing it. But, I get like a little emotional with certain games. I got emotional with Rhyme. When I got to the very end, I started crying. So,
okay.
For those who haven't played, this is going to be a spoiler. For those who hadn't played the game, the main character was actually gone the whole time. He was dead. And I started crying because it was a little boy and the father was like looking for him the whole time. So I was like, oh my god. So yeah.
So in other words, we need mental help after this. Okay.
Yeah, you know, I'm like, how come I keep getting these sad video games?
Is it bad that when you say the game Rhyme, my brain was thinking about the game Rhyme in Dramatical Murders. So I think it's kind of bad and my brain went 4 miles to the left right now.
Yeah.
Hey, it's not my fault the anime was good.
All right, guys. So if you guys are interested in getting this awesome book, it is available on Amazon. I don't have the exact price, but I will link it on our website. All right. Time to get back to the show.
Woo!
Bling! Guys, we're back! Yowie! Okay.
As soon as you said yowie, my head snapped up.
Yes. So I knew it would. That's why I said it. Okay.
Where? Isn't that terrible?
Okay, so after completing Rama and a Half, Takahashi wanted to go in a different direction. Usually, most of her past work was like comedy and like kind of lighthearted. So in an interview with Seiji Horibachi, she mentioned she wanted to achieve a story-oriented manga, and also like the idea of a setting that was historical. So with these key elements in mind, Inuyasha was born.
So I can see how that could go in together. So now, November 13th of 1996, Inuyasha Fairy Tale debuted in Weekly Shonen Sunday, with some of her other previous works debuted as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the chapters were collected into 56 volumes and later published in Shogakukan. Too many letters run together.
Shogakukan.
Okay. So, little interesting little tidbit, but 2013, a special quote-unquote epilogue chapter was published in, again, Weekly Shonen Sunday as part of the Heroes Come Back anthology, composed of short stories by manga artists to raise funds for recovery for areas affected by the 2011 Tohoku earthquake and tsunami.
Which was horrible.
Yeah.
Because I remember, like, one of my friends in Japan, we couldn't, like, get a hold of her for a while. Ooh. And I was, like, really nervous. But she said, she popped up, like, I'm fine. And I'm like, well, thank you.
Thank you for touching base with the rest of us over here. And on back to the next story.
We were like, where are you? Where are you? Oh,
like, I'm good. We're good. Like, this happens on occasion. We're good.
Yep. Especially that, like, that one news footage I saw, like, when, like, an earthquake was happening around them, and then everybody was just sitting there, like, all chill.
Like, pretty much how some people react here when we, like, when we see massive snowstorms. Mm-hmm. We just go, so it begins.
Yeah, pretty much.
And you just pull out the salt and the shovel and get ready to clear up the driveway, because you know your job ain't gonna close.
Right.
You know you're gonna be driving to work 2 hours early.
Right.
To get there about 10 minutes late.
Let's see. So, are you familiar at all with the Inuyasha manga?
Somewhat, yes. Yes, I did reach. I remember reading some of the episodes. Well, I say episodes, even though they're chapters. Volumes.
Well, technically, they are volumes because the ones over here were volumes.
Yeah, I remember reading some of them, but I really, again, let's fall back on Old Faithful. Good old Cartoon Network.
They're true.
It just was where it was, because, again, entertainment of hearing an anime character cuss was one of those lovely things about After Dark. Couldn't help it. I think After Dark was half my life, I think. But I do remember. I remember a lot of the artwork was very similar. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that I remember she used a lot of bold lines to emphasize certain character features and constructs, like, mm-hmm. for their eyes. I don't know what it was, but her art style was so memorable to me.
And Kagome's eyes were blue.
Yes.
In the manga.
Yeah, they were blue in the manga. And yet still they're like brownish, chocolatey blue on the anime.
It's, well,
like,
technically they were brown. They were like blackish brown.
But then occasionally you would see it like pull a sheen of blue.
I don't remember.
Wait a minute.
I'll look it up later.
Look, as she's saying that, I pick up phone, like.
We'll look at that later. Here's an interesting fact. So for the design of the samurai, or like the castles, like in the manga, Takahashi didn't do any research whatsoever. So she just kind of like was free like hand. She was like, this is like freehand. This is common knowledge for Japanese people.
You know what? I could see her doing something like that too, because if you think about it,
uh-huh.
if you go traveling. And there's so many different ones. She probably looked at a couple different old castles that were still standing,
mm-hmm.
and probably was like, you will do.
Yeah, that's probably what it was.
Like, you'll do or something in this effect.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Cheating.
Nah, it's not cheating. It's like, let's just get the story over with and call it a great day. That's what that is. And it's like, so actually, while she was writing Inuyasha, she didn't have like an established ending. So she wasn't sure what she wanted to do with the relationship between Inuyasha and Kagome. And furthermore, Takahashi stated that she did not have an ending to her previous manga, to her previous mangas as well. So,
So her and 100 by 100's writer just been good friends.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, we need to never let anybody else meet that person, ever. Ever. We're going to have some pissed off fans for life.
Well, I finally caught... Never mind. I'm not going to talk about that. That's another episode. All right, so for the English version of the manga, it was licensed under Viz Media. Mm-hmm. Initially, Viz released it as... wanted to, like, release it as a monthly... Like in a monthly American comic format, which is basically like each releasing each issue containing like two or three chapters. But they abandoned that idea for paperback volumes. So that's the ones that you were probably introduced to. Mm-hmm. And that's the ones I've been introduced to as well.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So those were the ones that was easiest to get your fingers on.
Mm-hmm. And they used to actually like flip the flip the pages. So they were reading. They're for like. I remember. Yeah, for Americans. American readers. So yeah. It was like it was flip from left right, or, right to left. Right to left to left to right. Right.
Yeah, which used to irritate me with all the other ones like Gravitation, which we talked about before, mm-hmm. and some of the others like Saint Tail and all them. You started them right to left. And then you throw in Yasha in on the left or right. You're like, wait, what?
I know, because sometimes, because, okay. Reprogramming. If anybody who is used to reading manga, you just automatically know it is right from left. And, like, when you come back to, like, for instance, like, a Western comic book.
Book period.
well, for me, a Western comic book, I start reading right to left and I end up forgetting. Or if I end up, like, reading, like, a manhwa. A Korean manga or webcomic, I end up starting to read, you know, right to left. I'm like, oh, wait, snap.
I told you what happened with me that time with Shonen Jump, trying to start reading Order of the Phoenix. Yeah, this is a long time ago, but I read all of Shonen Jump, which was right to left. Mm-hmm. Picked up Order of the Phoenix, was going to try to read it. I got about 10 pages before I kept on trying to go backwards.
Right, because your brain...
I had to put the book down, go to sleep, and try again in the morning.
Right, because you're like, your brain just ends up doing things sometimes when you're reading manga. I don't know what it is, but
it's like you process it differently and then your brain trying to retrain it because it's been looking at 300 pages of right to left. Mm-hmm. Then you first five, it's like good luck.
So the manga has sold more than 45 million copies in Japan. In 2001 the manga won the Shogakukan Manga Award for Best Shonen Title of the Year. And in North America, the manga volumes appeared in various times in the New York Times and Diamond Comic Distribution's top selling list.
I believe it.
Here's something else I found that was interesting. So like in 2005, one of the most researched series according to Lightgoals was Inuyasha.
And that's actually really possible because I think about it. Uh-huh. They used to have this website we would go to where you could like create the little web character. Mm-hmm. And you could remember feed Koga and you could talk to Koga and all the different characters. It was changetheworld.org or net or something.
I think I remember that.
And yeah, it was all based on Inuyasha, so I'm thinking.
I think I remember that. Oh God! I wonder, is there like an archive something? If I could find it, I'm gonna go post it like on Instagram or.
I think I know because I remember this is back when we had all those email accounts from Yahoo. Mm-hmm. Oh my God! Just thinking about how much, yeah, I would believe it. Yeah. You know how you stop and think about it for a second, like, oh yeah, that.
Yeah, yeah, I could see that because I was looking up Inuyasha a lot at school when I was supposed to be doing my homework. But anyhow,
see what happened was.
Yeah. whatever. On the whole, so do you want to talk about the main cast of Inuyasha, the characters?
Yes, I would love to, actually. So.
Okay, we have Kagome Higurashi. She's actually technically our main protagonist of the story.
She is like the fairy tale princess that we're dealing with.
Yes, and she's always typical. Sometimes she has to be saved a lot, but that's another
true damsel in distress.
But you know, her favorite saying was
"Sit, boy."
Yep. Because Inuyasha, thanks to Lady Kaede. She gave him these enchanted spirit beads that has a connection with Kagome, and whenever Inuyasha steps out of line,
it was just a phrase that she could use.
She'll say, Inuyasha, sit, boy, and he'll just like fall to the ground and
like smashes
into the ground.
So. I dare say, I think there was one episode. I think she almost created a crater with how many times she said sit,
she
boy.
Did.
Like, yeah, I think she actually sit at him from a tree once.
Yes.
Like, ow.
Yeah, I was like, ugh, there she goes again, ugh.
But you know what? Sometimes Inuyasha brought it on himself.
Yeah, he did.
He would say something absolutely asshole-ish.
Stupid. Just
butt-raving, ignorant, and you just couldn't, you just, in your soul, you knew the word sit was going to come out of her mouth in seconds. Mm-hmm. You just kind of wondered when she was going to wait to say it. Was it when he was over the bridge? or when he was up in the guy tree waiting and sitting there saying something stupid.
It was a given.
Yeah, pretty much.
So then we had Inuyasha,
which of course,
who is technically I would say that Kagome and Inuyasha are the Duragnus. Is that how you pronounce it? I always mess up when I say that out loud. You know, like the two. Okay, so you got your protagonist.
Okay.
And you have your secondary protagonist.
Uh-huh.
Which would be the Duragonist.
Duragonist? Okay, I can follow Duragonist? That.
Duragonist? Never mind.
I don't know. Duragonist sounds good. Derogatory? I don't know. It's just, Duragonist sounds fun.
I just never said that out loud.
People. I've never heard the word, so we're going to go with that.
Okay.
But Inuyasha, of course, would be kind of like our quote-unquote knight in shining armor type. Because he's always saving Kagome's carcass.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we get some gender flips here and there once we really start dealing with Inuyasha and him dealing with his demon issues. But go on to the Duragonist. Our second main characters would be, of course, Miroku and Sango.
Yeah, technically, I would say Shippo. Shippo comes third to me. To me, because he's been there since the beginning.
He's adorable, though. You kind of can't help but feel bad for Shippo.
Yeah,
because his parents were
his father was murdered by the Thunder Brothers. Yeah, Thunder Brothers. That's right.
Yeah, the fact that I actually remember this, and I have not seen an episode in probably a good 7 years, but.
Right. I think, yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, I think there's cobwebs the last time I seen that episode. But the reason I bring up Sango and Miroku is because if we're going by duos, sorry, Shippo, you don't have a secondary for this one.
Kiara.
But then you'd have to bring in Sango in order to get to Kirara.
Yes, yes, I know.
But you know what? I have to admit, I love Kirara. Kirara is so cute. I want one.
Yeah, the tiny version.
Little twin tail cat. Yes. Cat demon.
Yes. Okay, so we have Inuyasha.
But it flies as a full grown adult.
Shippo, who is the little tiny little
fox demon.
Fox demon. He's a kid. We have Miroku, who is a monk.
A pervy monk.
And he has in his hand
the wind tunnel.
The wind tunnel. Which he keeps wrapped up in prayer beads in order to keep it
contained.
And he actually had gotten inflicted with it, his family, by who
else? None other?
Naraku.
This goes back to what I was saying about how many people's how many lives were intertwined by Naraku.
Right.
Who technically was originally once a human. The only reason he was human is because he invited the demons into his body in order for him to live, because he didn't want to die.
Mm-hmm. And plus he wanted Kikyo, but that's in the Shikan Jewel, and that's another story.
That's a whole nother, that could take a whole second podcast by itself.
Right, because that's what I was thinking, as I was doing research, I'm like, the more and more
you dig into this,
I digged into it, I'm like, this could be like a three-parter if we really wanted to go into it, but
right, we really had to pull this apart piece by piece. You easily could do three on this one alone, but skipping
but
through them,
we're not gonna do that
again. And Naraku, the reason why we brought up him is Sango, because her family was attacked by a horde of demons that was controlled by none other than
Naraku.
And what happens, and not only that, because this.
And her brother.
And her brother Kohaku.
Right.
Who, he's like secondary supporting cast. But one of the biggest things that brings this home about is this jewel.
Mm-hmm.
The Shikon no Tama, the Jewel of Four Souls. One of the biggest things about this is the backstory of the jewel itself.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, it was guarded by a priestess.
Yes.
She was guarded by a priestess, Midoriko. I can't remember right now. Do that in a minute, but priestess, immense spiritual power, demons try to take it. It was a battle of 4 days and 4 nights. She ended up dying to save the jewel.
Mm-hmm.
And whose family protects that cave, that sacred hallowed ground? Sango's family. The village protects it.
Mm-hmm.
So Naraku thinking, jewel originates here, maybe it's still there.
Nah.
Goes and destroys a whole village of demon slayers.
And unfortunately, I was going to say something else, but yeah, that was just You know, Raku after a while was getting on my nerves throughout the whole freaking series. Every time I just like, oh, here he comes again.
It was like, every time you heard the word miasma or bees, you really just wanted to find him and gut him yourself.
Yes.
He irritated your whole soul. He truly was the antagonist of all antagonists.
Mm-hmm.
I have not met one character who has pissed me off more.
And everybody calls Sephiroth from Final Fantasy VII, like, one of the greatest antagonists of all time.
One of them.
I would say Naraku is.
Because in Naraku, he just intertwined. You know what he reminds you of?
Mm.
He reminds you of that black hair color on a white t-shirt. Bleach don't get it out. And then it's like that grease stain that never comes out. It don't matter what you put on it, he's always there. You can color that shirt and everything, but that spot is always there.
Mm-hmm. He's a canker sore.
Girl, but see, at least a canker sore heals.
That's true.
This dude, he really reminds you of a hole, a chuck hole in Cleveland. He's a Cleveland chuck hole. It don't matter how many times they fill it, it always comes back to bite your car in the butt.
My car's been messed up. My car's messed up currently. Anywho, that's a different story.
Mine too, but
that's a different story.
Control arm later, but
okay. Let's continue with the characters.
So we've gone over most of the main originals.
Yeah. So we got Kaede.
Our secondaries now.
Yeah, our secondaries. So we're gonna move on to. So we got Lady Kaede, who is basically the mentor. I would call her.
She's
the sister of
Kikyo.
Of Kikyo, who was actually. Priestess who passed away a priestess that passed away protecting the Shikan Jewel.
And
was Inuyasha's
love.
Yeah, his boothang.
Yeah, his little boothang, but not only that, but that's Kagome's predecessor. Right. That's actually Kagome's her reincarnate.
Yes.
So this is why Kikyo irks my soul and this whole love triangle, because
you're in love with yourself.
He's in love with the same person.
Yeah.
Just one has a shorter skirt and is younger and is no longer a clay pot for a terracotta pot somewhere. But
yeah, so for those who probably get confused on what Bianca meant by pots, Kikyo was resurrected by, I forget the...
I could have sworn the Raku had in that.
The demoness, was a demon woman? Or was a witch? I forget. So it was
probably a witch.
I think it was this witch that wanted the Shikan jewel. She resurrected Kikyo out of clay.
Yes, and she literally turned. She's literally a Shikigami. She has these souls. She collects souls in order to pretty much
live.
So if she's made out of clay. She's a terracotta pot in my brain. she's one of those that you wish you could just push and it turn into broken terracotta parts, but...
Yeah, she gets annoying.
She does, and this whole love triangle with them is bat crap crazy. But then you also run into Inuyasha's half-brother, who's a full-blooded demon, Sesshomaru. Yeah, and every fangirl has squealed over his...
Yes, he's so wonderful.
His sexy honey gold eyes and long...
Yes, yes, yes. And then, wait. I think that little furry boa thing was alive. That's what somebody keeps saying.
Everyone says that's a piece of his tail, actually.
Yeah, but... I think it is, though, because it's always near him.
You never see that boa come off, either. Nope. It's draped over his shoulder, which, if you think about it, it's very plausible, because Inuyasha has the dog ears. They don't disappear.
Nope.
Except for once a month.
And then, yeah, true, once a month. So, yeah, every month, every
new moon,
Inuyasha reverts to human, because Inuyasha is a half demon.
Hanyo, yeah.
Yeah, he's a half demon. Half human, half demon. So every new moon, he reverts to human.
And he looks like he could be Kagome's brother.
Yes, exactly. They have the same hairstyle, same hair color and everything.
They look like they can be brother and sister.
Yeah.
Which is mildly creepy.
Yeah, mildly, because she's basically in love with a lookalike. Anyhow.
Yeah, the kids would look really just like one parent.
Yeah. Ew.
Unless, you know what? I'm not even going to try to get through that genetic pool line. But then you also have traveling with Sesshomaru, his faithful yet annoying sidekick, well, not even sidekick, advisor, Jaqen, which is a toad demon.
Yes.
That carries a twin-headed staff that spits fire.
Mm-hmm.
And a little human girl who, in which...
He brought back to life because Shishamaru participates. What am I talking about? Shishamaru possesses a sword that he inherited from his father. The Tensega.
Tokujin's the other one. He's got two swords.
I'm sorry. I'm looking like Tensega.
Yes, because Tensega and Tetsaiga. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Just sleep.
Okay. So
no caffeine.
Okay. So he possesses the Tensega that can bring life, that could actually like stop like the little evil death demons. They're not evil, but you know,
it's not their fault.
Basically, like it could stop death from taking a soul. So he saved Rin after she was attacked by wolves, and yeah, that's pretty much it. And sometimes doesn't Kohaku travel with them sometimes, or he shows up sometimes.
He shows up on occasion because you had the first round of Kohaku when the village was killed pretty much, because Kohaku unfortunately, in order to save him, a piece of the shard was shoved in his back, mm-hmm. and thus he became one of Naraku's puppets.
Right.
And then he had his memories taken. Later on, he gains his memories back. He travels with them off and on.
Right.
Trying to right his wrongs, I guess. I don't know. You know how that feudal mentality is. then you run into characters, of course, like Miyoga, who's a flea, who on occasion is... He's a mentor to Inuyasha, but he's
a coward.
Freaking chicken crap. But he runs and flees from everything.
Yeah, he comes and he'll say his little piece, suck on some blood, and bounce.
Pretty much. He's like that uncle at the cookout that doesn't bring nothing. He brings some plates, leaves with a whole slab of ribs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Then ain't help cook nothing. Mm-hmm. Went to the dollar store to get the plates. Yeah.
And then we have Koga. Leader of the Demon Wolf Tribe.
Yes, with his faithful companions Genta and Hak.
Brain freeze. I don't remember either. But
it was Genta and Hak something. I can't remember his name right now.
Yu Yu Hakusho.
Just joking. Which actually, I believe her husband is the creator of. I have to double check that.
I think that's Sailor Moon. Because
somebody,
that's Sailor Moon's
her husband. It was like somebody's husband because the artwork was so close. It was creepy. Because
Hunter, Yu Hakusho, that's the same person.
We need to kick his behind in because we need to go find this person and drop kick him in the throat one time.
Well, they were talking about he was ill one time, but anyway.
All right, fine.
All right, so let's move on. So we already mentioned Koga. Naraku.
Oh, Jesus.
Who used to be Omagumo, a thief that was dying in a cave. It's a long ass story.
Kikyo was be nice to him.
Yeah.
Brought him food and while he was dying, while she bandaged his butt hind up.
Yeah. And so Naraku sends out his incarnations, which is basically pieces of his body part. There's like a whole bunch of them. I'm not even going to name right now, but
just know they're all insane.
They're all insane because they're a part of him. And so then we have Totosai, who is the creator of
Tetsaiga and Tensega.
Yes,
creator of those are from Shishamaru and Inuyasha's dad is a fang that they had that was created a sword in order to. The sword in order to pretty much... Tetsaiga is humongous. Tetsaiga can stop death. Mm-hmm. Or bring you back to life. Humans. One was given to the older brother to defend the
mankind.
Defend mankind. And the other was pretty much defend itself.
Right.
pretty much how that had to go. Because
Inuyasha needed the most protection.
Yeah, because he was half demon. He wasn't accepted anywhere.
Right.
Amongst demons...
I'm sorry, my dog's barking in the background.
amazing. This dog is upstairs around the corner ways, and she's that loud.
And it will pick up on this phone microphone, and it's so irritating.
I just laugh because she's so daggone little.
And she's loud as hell.
Oh, my God. All four of my cats are bigger than the dog, and yet and still. Ugh. I find it hilarious. Ugh. But anyway, see, we need a dog demon to chase her a little bit.
Maybe, yeah.
Where's Sheepo? Go play with her. Take your time.
Fox. She'll probably scare him half to death.
Then again, Sheepo probably would be able to turn large and scare the hell out of the dog.
True. All right, so want to talk about anime?
Of course.
Yes.
Something we recall quite well.
So, like I always say, with every successful manga, an anime soon follows, along with a Chinese live-action ripoff.
Okay, well.
Which I have seen.
You have seen?
I have seen that many years ago, and I was kind of like randomly watching some drama. I forget where I was watching some dramas. But I was just like looking, I'm like, why does this look so familiar? Gosh darn it, that's Inuyasha.
Wow.
Right. It was like, I'm like, dude, seriously?
It's like, are you really kidding me right now?
Well. Okay, so the first Inuyasha anime was adapted by Sunrise and premiered in Japan on October 16th, 2000. And it ran for 167 episodes until its conclusion on September 13th, 2004. Hmm. So we got the dub version August 31st, 2002, and it ran until October 27th, 2006. And it premiered on, where else? Adult Swim. But the anime was originally planned to appear on Toonami.
But this is interesting to find out. So Toonami became a block on Adult Swim. Mm-hmm. And Inuyasha aired there from November 12th to March 2012 mm-hmm. when the network had lost the broadcast rights to the series. I kind of find that interesting though, because I could have sworn. So they're calling, now they're saying Toonami was a piece of Adult Swim. Mm-hmm. See? And my brain has always been Toonami.
Right, because Toonami was like in the afternoon.
Yeah, and that's just it. That's when I got at night, I got to hear all the, damn you! And I was like, yes! My joy of hearing them just cuss and see blood.
Yeah, because you know what? Happy. I think like at one point, I had gotten a little, I kind of like, you know, sometimes we get a little older folks, you kind of like gravitate towards other things. So yeah. I kind of like got lost. I don't remember when Toonami became a part of Adult Swim.
I thought it was originally Toonami After Dark, and then Adult Swim it was the one that came on with like Family Guy and American Dad and some of them first, and then it went into the Toonami After Dark where it would show some.
So that was like late night.
Right. It was almost like from midnight to about 2 a.m.
See, because I was asleep.
And where was I? Wide awake watching it, because it would be like Inuyasha, Gundam Wing, Dragon Ball Z, Big O, Cootie Cootie, and some of them.
Because I could say this, I probably do Cowboy slightly Bebop. Remember this because I was on a plane coming home and I was watching Adult Swim, and what else was on? Cowboy Bebop. And that was like at, what, 1 or 2 o'clock?
2-ish, yeah.
Yeah, so.
That's what I was saying. Okay. So it was right around that time frame that it was, and I remember they used to re-air it at about 2 a.m.
Okay.
They would redo the whole block.
Yeah, because I had that written down 4 or 5 o'clock. Yep, see, right here. Okay. Mm-hmm. I got it written down somewhere.
She's like, I covered that somewhere in this.
I got it written down somewhere. Okay.
Somewhere.
Okay, I'm doing this funny voice. Excuse me. Okay. So.
Nap time.
Okay, so October 3rd, 2009, a 26 episode series based on volumes 36 to 56 of the manga premiered in Japan, along with a simulcast on Hulu for the U.S. And I believe it was probably on something else. I can't really find that information right now.
Netflix?
I don't think Netflix.
I don't know, but But give me 10 minutes, I can figure it out.
But it's simulcast on like another something besides Hulu, I think.
Crunchyroll.
So, let's move on. So on November 15th, 2014, Adult Swim aired the final act, which is what actually the anime was called. It was called Inuyasha: The Final Act, on the Toonami block at two a.m. So, okay. So here's some cool facts about the anime. In the American Anime Awards 2007, Inuyasha was a nominee in the categories Best Cast, Best Anime Feature, and Best Long Series, but lost to Full Metal Alchemist and Final Fantasy VII Advent Children, respectfully.
I gotta laugh at that one, sorry.
But you know what? I could see why it lost to Full Metal Alchemist, but...
Yeah, but the other one? I have questions.
Yeah, listen. I like Final Fantasy VII, but Advent Children, How did you like that one? Yeah, her face is telling the story.
My face is scrunched up.
Like a mushroom right now.
Literally look like I smelled somebody pass gas and they had like milk, eggs, and cheese.
It wasn't all that great. So do you want to talk about the music?
Yes, because you know what I pulled up over here.
Are we going to talk about all the music?
And a couple of them, just a couple.
I'll let you take over the at one, my dear.
So, throughout the course of Inuyasha, you had a lot of opening songs. You had Change the World by V6, I Am by Hitomi, Owarai Nai Yume by Nanase Aikawa, Grip by Every Little Thing, One Day, One Dream by Taki and Tsubasa, Angelus by Hitomi Shimatani, and Kimigai Inai Mirai by Duo's Infinity.
Which is my favorite one.
And see, Duo's Infinity pops up again in the ending songs. I do happen to have a couple of these pulled up already.
See?
Anime lyrics.
Yes.
So, Change the World, which is the very first one, it goes through episodes 1 through 34, actually is kind of, if my phone cooperates with my whole life. Of course, if you watch this on Toonami, you never heard this.
Yep, you never heard any of this stuff. Any of the music, like the opening things, at all.
Ever. It was like rarity by itself. So, going on past that, the ending songs, which actually, thank goodness for Small Favorites, again, we haven't pulled up, but you actually heard a lot more of the ending songs than you did.
Yeah, you did.
Of the actual opening. So, the ending songs start with My Will by Dream, Fukai Mori by Duo's Infinity.
Darius. My favorite again.
Yeah, I know that one is one of my. I actually love My Will. I love a lot of the ending songs actually, but Dearest by Ayumi Hamasaki, Every Heart by Mina no Kimochi by BoA, Senjitsu no Uta by Duo's Infinity again, which again I said they pop up a couple more times.
Yes.
Isazura no Kiss by Day After Tomorrow,
which is a manga, by the way. go ahead.
Come by Namie Omuro, Change the World by V6 again for a TV special, Brand New World by V6 again, they had a couple pop up, With You by AAA, Diamond by Allen, and Toimichi no Sakide by Ai Takakawa. So the last three I mentioned, With You, Diamond, and the Toimichi no Sakide, those are all from the final act. So 1 through 26 episodes, and they have 3 openings. Mm-hmm. Go figure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, excuse me, 3 ending songs. But the fun part is, I do have a couple of these pulled up. I'm only going to play 2 of them, possibly 3, a piece of 3. So the first one we'll touch on is probably going to be My Will, which was episodes 1 through 20, and episode 166 and 167 from the TV special. So just letting everybody come on and wake up here.
Da, 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 da,
of course.
Da, da, da.
While I sit here thinking about life.
Do, do, do.
Oh, I love it. visit Advertiser. I love this. Why are you here in my life right now?
What's happening?
It showed me the advertisement first.
Oh, yeah, and of course we're recording, so. Wait, she's singing right now.
I can't help it. This was one of my favorites. I think it's because of the artwork for the ending. Mm. So I'm going to pause that one here. Go back to Fukai Mori. Because that was another one I absolutely loved. I'm actually going to cheat and see if I can skip ahead on it a little bit. Probably have heard this one time too many, haven't I? The fact I'm over here doing the fan light over here with the phone.
Okay,
I was just about to pause it.
Wait, it's almost like, okay, we got to
stop. She's like, stop it!
Right, we don't want to pay no fines, wait!
So, just kind of looking at this, I have to say, a lot of the artwork for the ending themes, they really do tie the beginning of the next season.
Yeah, they do.
I kind of looked at that, kind of found that interesting. Go figure.
So, have you heard any of these character songs? I haven't. I meant to go look some up. I was getting ready to look, but there's a few character songs. Here I go. I'm about to read some Japanese.
Okay.
Never mind.
Okay, y'all say all that day by
I just posted on Twitter, y'all.
That's a Kenny Inuyasha featuring Kagome. Imoroku featuring Sango and Shippo, Kaze no Nakae. That one's not too bad. Or then you got one called Go.
Go. That's easy.
We can pronounce that one today.
That's easy. So, final thoughts on Inuyasha, my dear?
Man, I guess the biggest thing about Inuyasha is hella seasons, hella episodes.
Yes.
I'm like, I picked back up in season 6 and I know I still got...
We got about a good
40 episodes left.
I got some ways to go because I have left off on the, what are those 7?
Band of 7?
Yes, Band of 7. Oh, that's where God. I kind of like left off.
It might be right around in there. Right now I'm stuck in season 6 where we just got over, the woman who once left Shishomaru. It was a 2-part episode.
I forgot about that.
I was amazed. And when I seen that, I was like low-key heartbroken.
It's like this. Was that like a filler?
It might have been a filler.
Because it just didn't seem natural.
It didn't, but it kind of, in a way, did because you got Shishomaru traveling. Mm. That man walks more. For him to be the Lord of the West.
I know, he's never in the freaking West. Ever. It's like, where is this West?
I was like, what West are you going? Are you going West of West? Because this
he's never there.
He's never there. But, I'm amazed he even has lands at that point. But, I mean, I truly have to say, with Inuyasha, it was I love the artwork. I love the storyline. Mm-hmm. It had a good bit of comedy. It was one of those things, though. It was humor covering. It reminds you of that person that laughs at a funeral.
There you go. I laugh at funerals all the time.
Damn.
Well, not like laugh at it, but you just kind of like...
You try.
Even through like your sad moments, you just find humor in something small. And it's just know that even... You just know that you're fine and that those around you will be fine.
And I guess what I'm looking at is it just looks like for me when I say laughter at a funeral is it's so much craziness and negativity that's happening at that moment. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they have a moment to kind of laugh, and you really don't notice how in-depth some of this is, like, to think about it, like Kohaku.
Right.
You know, you see that he's got his memories. You're like, yes! And then you stop and realize that if you take that shard, Jinwoo shard, out of his back, he'll die.
Uh-huh.
It's one of those where you go, wow.
Yeah, that's deep right there.
It is when you think of things like that, or when you kind of touch on...
And that's why I always say that I think that young individuals, when they're coming up, they need to see or read shows like this to just know that life isn't always fair, but it's almost like...
You life have lemons, make lemonade.
Yes, precisely.
Now find someone whose life gave him vodka and have a hell of a party.
Inuyasha is always going to be one of my all-time favorite animes and mangas. Inuyasha is like, you know, it's a part of my childhood. I remember staying up like late at night when I was supposed to be in bed. Trying to get up for school to watch this show.
Right.
I just think that those who are a part of the newer generation of anime lovers and fans, you all really need to give Inuyasha a chance and just fall in love with it like we did back in the day.
Yeah, I think every anime fan of the newer generation,
mm-hmm.
they need to go back and see how anime and how manga progressed.
Yes.
Because you will not be able to respect or enjoy it as much until you see where it became. Where it became actually is a statement, because where did it come from, how it became so great, and how you progressed.
Think about it, like back in our day, you know, anime wasn't mainstream.
Oh, God, no.
It was not the mainstream force that it is today, trust.
And you didn't have, like, when we were growing up, you didn't have 30, 40-year-olds gushing over anime characters. Mm-hmm. Like, you didn't have someone say, man, did you see Sailor Moon? That bra kicked paint. No.
Wait, because, like, if you do, you're a creep.
Yeah, you didn't have anybody saying, you know, you didn't have places like Hot Topic and Torrid and stuff embracing that culture.
No Crunchyroll.
No Funimation app. No Hulu that you could, like, Google, just sit there. Google wasn't even around. This was back in days of, like, Angel mm-hmm. Fire, mm-hmm. Ask Jeeves before it became Ask.com. Mm-hmm. You know, before Bing was now its own entity, it was back in the day, MSN. Mm-hmm. So you didn't really have that feature. Didn't really have that appreciation.
So, yeah, youngins.
You got to go back a little bit.
You got to go back a lot of bit.
Wait a minute. You little young whippersnappers, back in my day.
Yeah, back in my day.
Anime used to be a hard to find thing.
Escaflowne.
Ooh! Okay. Visions of Escaflowne. Yes. You went there.
Yes, I went. Ooh. I went. Ooh. It's on Crunchyroll right now. So if you all don't understand what the Visions of Escaflowne is, baby, it's on Crunchyroll, so you don't have any excuses.
That are X1999 from Clamp.
There you go. That's really weird.
Okay. The North Star.
All right, so Bianca, yes, where can we find you?
Facebook and Instagram, you can find me at AngelRavenDove88. Twitter is TwistAndTwirl88. Go figure. It took me a long time to figure these all out. I don't even look at all this. Don't judge me.
All right, folks, you can follow me, Alita, at A-L-E Overton on Twitter. You can follow the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at Who's Impressed. Our website is called whosimpressed.com. You can email us if you have, like, anything you want to talk about. You have, like, any show ideas or what have you, or just want to say hi. Email us at whosimpressed@gmail.com.
Not only that, but you know what? On our Twitter pages, it's also fun sometimes to just see you say, hey, I agree. Naraku was a creeper. Hey,
yes.
Who else got tired of Naraku getting beat down?
I mean, like, contact us on social media. You know, I'm always throwing out some polls.
I know this about Charmed.
Yeah. That was fun.
Y'all had a comment on that one.
So, yeah, I got some polls up. I got information on the show. What have you guys want to say hi? Just say hello.
And when she says poles, she doesn't mean the ones you swing around, okay?
Yeah, well, maybe. Okay.
See what happens.
Yeah. All right, folks, that's the end of this episode.